Monday night, Rav Shlomo Weisbart, and the day the Torah away.
Okay, let's just make a quick pandora what we're doing. Actually, we were speaking about pets last time, really interesting about pets. Where the pets are mucks, actually, I must have had a bit of a struggle of protis. So we were speaking about where the pets are mucks on Shabbos. Someone's got a pet, so the Maaser, Mr. Rua says that most animals, since most animals are not roy to use on Shabbos, so the Maaser, the animals are muksa. That's what he says, that's why we make it, it's like a loy plug, and all animals are muksa. Shari, what is about a pet, one that's designated to play with? So many of the Shabbos, the Chari, shouldn't be worse than a stone. If a person's got a stone, you can designate a stone. To play with, whatever. Why should a pet be worse than that? The good kasha. So others say that it's worse, a pet is worse, because it's got its own das. It's not like a stone, an amateur which can't do anything. This has got its own das. The last time I coached you, children of Moshe, which I've never understood actually, Moshe, I just saw someone speak about it now. Moshe writes there, it's very interesting, in Chelek Hay, he writes pets of Muksa, and then he's got afterwards, unless you're miyachad it. Very interesting what I mean, exactly. So I was looking at a sefer because someone asked here last week in the shiva when we were speaking about pets, we've come to about fish. Anyway, someone says it's a mistake. That shuvah, someone's fiddled with that shuvah. It's not correct, that shuvah. It doesn't really tally. If the pet is moksa, which he starts to bring in, it doesn't help to miyachad it. So I don't know what to say. There are some possums definitely do allow a person to play with pets, but the consensus of Roy Poskim is that pets are moksa. Then, well, someone's got a rabbit, a cat, or a dog. Really, that's problematic on Shabbos to carry or to hold it, whatever. Even to stroke it, we spoke about last time. Well, that's also problematic. That we saw from the Bialocha, stroking the tail that could also be called moving muksa. Might also be a problem. So, ideally, one shouldn't. I mean, well, I can't object to someone who does it, but there is There is certainly a mock of the hachme. Those who make it, there are possible who make it, but general concerns are possible to be hachme. Now we spoke about a fish out of water. So we said also chiddush that b'mokum tsar bale chayim, where there's distress to an animal, then you could move mukta. Someone asked a kashi, who said tsar bale chayim by a fish? Yeah, that's what someone asked last week. Remember, someone asked kashi last week, is there tsar bale chayim by a fish? Very interesting thing actually what he said. And this person actually brought a raya from Shita actually. He said, you see, don't shech, a fish. So you see that there's no tsar bale chayim by fish. Point, I was looking at a safe about tsar bale chayim. I'm going to bring this point, actually. The chinuch says the reason why you do shechita is that's the most humane way of doing it. Freilich some sofer is, I don't understand. If that's true, why do you have to shech the fish? Why you don't have to shech the fish, boys? Yeah, you see, you don't have to shech the fish. So freilich some sofer, if the chinuch's roar is right, that it's the most humane way of doing it, then why don't you have to shech the fish? So it's klavich some sofer that it's tsar bale chayim by fish. And many poskim take on that by a fish that is tsar bale chayim. So therefore, if someone's fish jumps out of water, so we spoke about a few cases last time. Let's say a fish jumps out of water, so I actually want to take it, put it back into the pond, into the bowl of water. So according to many poskim, could do it, even though it's muksa, a fish is muksa. But because of tsar bale chayim, it's uncomfortable for the other fish. It's uncomfortable for that fish, it's in distress, you can put it back. Who I think we said, if the someone's... What?
He'll die.
He'll die, right, yes.
How would
it
die?
How would it die? If you've got no water when she dies, it doesn't last without water, a fish. So it won't last without water.
So the
what?
To fish is
any time you've got a sour of tzorilech, that's a big shadow. Whenever a person's got a tzorilech, I mean, every time you shoot a tzorilech, yeah? It's the most humane way of doing it, it's always tzorilech, the animal can first be alive. The Torah says that whenever there's a tzorilech of an odom, I must tell you, it's a big shadow with a fish. I don't know what happens to people. A lot of people, you can go fishing to a lot of places, and then you don't have to take the fish, you can leave the fish just out of water, you can kill it, you leave it. There's no tzorilech for that, unless you say an amusement of just having a fun, of being able to catch fish. That's a shayla that's slack, and a noisy hood that's a shayla. I said, someone wants to hunt. He was a hunter. He wants to know it's the right thing to be doing.
What's a hunter?
A hunter, Moshe, someone goes after animals. He runs on a horse or whatever. He goes on a horse, chasing after animals. To see if he can do it. It's not a right spirit of doing things. It's not a right spirit of doing things. What?
Or hunting's okay. If it's enjoyment, you
know. Why?
If you're hunting, if it's enjoyment, you know.
Yeah, but it's a shayla about tushes. The shayla, it's not a right thing to be doing. He's not very happy. Not a right thing to be doing things. So that was the shayla about fish and all these things. Let's move on to today now, which is very interesting. The shayla is about an antique decanter. By the way, just to be smart, also last week we spoke about also interesting about someone's got a spider and muscle crawling along the floor. Really, all insects are moxa. So to pick out the spider with your hands is not the right thing to do. The only thing is, the only heter that one's got is a graphial ray. It's very unpleasant in the house. A lot of people are very scared. It's repulsive to a lot of people.
Dangerous.
Spider?
No,
it's not. Well, what can it do?
If it is.
If it is, yeah. Well, I'm watching here in England, let me find them. I don't know if they're so dangerous in England. Yeah, if someone's got a dangerous one, they could do it. But I'm talking about a normal spider, one, you know, insects that people don't like. They're repulsive to a person. Then, l'chayra, a person's allowed to, what do you call it, allowed to pick it up. And what do you call it? I remember I asked my father, he said, Rocha once, he wanted to sweep it into a dustpan. So I said, is that not called seder? And you trapped it.
How did you trap it?
You can't do it out.
The dustpan,
yes, he told me you can jump around the side. And I actually told him, it's not called seder, jump out the side. Well, that's a long time ago, actually. It was a long time. It wasn't so nearby. But essentially, I thought it's called seder, put it sweep it into a dustpan. You hold the dustpan on a tilt, yeah, normally. It's not going to be able to get out. And he tells you that was all right. Okay, let's move on to today's thing. Very interesting about are things like a decanter or your matzahs, are they moksa at all on Shabbos? And this is a new sort of moksa we haven't spoken about in the past, and that's a moksa called moksa machmachisoron kiss. That is a moksa where a person is very fussy about it. He doesn't want to use it normally. I mean, the classic example of a Shulchan Aruch is a meal in life, actually. The moil, or shochet, they're very, very careful with that keli. They don't want to use anything else, because it's very, very delicate, can easily get ruined, so they only use it for what they need to use it for, and nothing else. So that is a classic example of a chisoron kiss, and that's moksa, a very similar type of moksa. You can't move for any purpose, same as moksa mahas gufoi, and you can't move it, so it's gufoi
mekum.
You can use it for that. Once you do the mitzvah, you have to put it down there. Then you have to put it down, you can't use it anymore. Now, the Shabbos, someone's got a meal knife lying around, can he move it and put it out of the way? He's got it on a chair, he wants to sit on a chair. So that meal knife is very strict. It's called Moksa Machmas Strong Kiss. He shouldn't sit on that chair, it's very dangerous, yeah? But, what do you call it? Is he allowed to move it and put it away? So we say it's a very severe type of Moksa. It's called Chisoron Kiss. That can't be moved. Based on the Gemara, says, Kol HaKein HaTolin, really all Kainin can be moved on Shabbos. Chut min ha-mesa ha-godl, the yeser shamachresha, that's a big saw and a plow. And Rashi explains that those kalim, people were very makbid on them, they were delicate kalim, and people were makbid on them not to move them for no reason. One used it for its job, and then one was careful it shouldn't get ruined. Okay, we have to think of examples of chisoron kiss, but then we'll come to that. So any chafis that a person's makbid on, is very careful with it, and it's not meant to be used, besides its purpose, is a problem of chisoron kiss. Many poskim say that my case battle a heter, a utensil which got a heter to use, can never be chisoron kiss. It has to be lavosh like a meal knife, it's used for issa. Or a shochet knife, it's used for issa. It's used for doing something on Shabbos you shouldn't really be doing. I've got a heter to do it, but I'm saying generally it's a malach on Shabbos, yeah? So they say that chisoron kiss can only be in a case of where the item one's got is used for an issa. If it's used for heter, there's no problem. Mice is not accurate, that definition, because all the possible agree, something which you've got to take back to a shop. Someone's bought a dress or a raincoat, and he tries it on before Shabbos, his wife doesn't like it. It's wrong, it doesn't fit you, it's no good. So he's going to take it back to the shop. That is a heterodic beggar, there's nothing wrong with that beggar, but that is a very severe type of moxa. It's called chisoron kiss, because you're makbid not to make sure it doesn't get damaged at all, because once it gets damaged, you can't return it to the shop. That's... Well, when you lose half the money, you won't get your full money back, yeah?
Okay, but I'm saying, if it was pouring outside, it's the only raincoat you have, you'd still wear it.
I'm not sure if you would. Would you? Depends what, if it's not light, and the washer, your wife says it's the wrong size, it doesn't fit, it doesn't suit you. Would you wear it and remove the chance of taking it back to the shop? I'm not sure. If it's true, if the person would maybe wear it, then you may be alright. But I'm talking about a case where a person designed not, he doesn't want to take it. He wants to return to the shop after Shabbos, definitely he doesn't want it. In that case, there, it's a heterodic Akkadi, but it's a very severe type of moksa. It's called chisoron kiss. So the poskim say the criteria is, like you're saying, really, would you use it on Shabbos or not? So, yeah, that's the criteria.
What?
That's not ishtamshus. That's not ishtamshus, really. You might show someone really likes to see if you should wear, but that's not ishtamshus, Akkadi. A raincoat is made to be worn. It's not made to be sure. You're not buying a raincoat to show someone whether he likes it or not. That's not the idea. If you don't want to wear it, you want to return to the shop. You're not interested in wearing it. You want to return to the shop. That's no good. So who are din the most? You have to clear now. This, a very expensive decanter someone's got, let's say, for example, which he keeps in his glass cupboard. That depends. If he uses it, tucker, during the course of the year, where he's got special visitors come out and he doesn't mind using it, then lechur, it's not muksa. But if it's very, very fussy about tucker, let's say he's very, very muppy on it, he might say he likes it only in the glass cupboard as a show. It's an antique. He doesn't want to take it out. He's worried. If it comes out, it'll get ruined. So he doesn't mind it being for show, but he doesn't want to use it. Then lechur, that's muksa. That's what it depends on. It depends what the facts are. What would he do? Would he actually use it or not? If he'd been mucked on it, then he's going to have a problem. That's like an antique decanter. I mean, mummish depends on buying. That's also interesting in the case. You can have two people own an item, the same item, and some people are fussy and some are not fussy. Much I know once, I don't know how this worked actually, it was a moil, apparently, who used to say his meaning knife is not muksa. So they asked him why he's not muksa. He said he uses it during the week to peel apples. He wants this interesting actually. He said he doesn't want to make it muksa, so he used it especially during the week. Then I wouldn't like to have a wristband by him, I don't think. But the mice is an interesting thing. So he's using this meaning life during the week to show that he doesn't want it duck for that thing. He doesn't mind losing other things. So you can have two people who've got the same item, and it depends, mummish, what their fussiness is. If they're fussy, it's chasson kiss. If they're not fussy, it's not chasson kiss. So this antique decanter, the choro, will depend on the person. Yeah, if the person is very fussy, keeps it in a showcase, he doesn't take it out, doesn't want anyone to see it, he doesn't want anyone to use it, he's worried, it's very, very delicate, then the chur is a problem of muksa. If the person doesn't mind, and sometimes he brings it out, and watch, you've got hospital visitors, for example, or every so often he takes it out to use, to show the chashivas of it, then the chur, that is not muksa, so it'll depend on that. The chur, that's what it depends on. I'll come to matzah. What about during Pesach? Let's talk about during Pesach itself. Can you move your kalim kalim shel chometz? What would you say, Rabbi Yisrael? It's a chiddush actually. During Pesach, let's say, for example, someone wants to move his kalim shel chometz. He wants to move it.
What kalim?
Let's say he's got a chometz in a kalim. He's got glasses which he used during the year for chometz. Would you say you could? Is that muksa?
No.
Why?
It's
common. Well, I would say not, because I would have thought a person doesn't use it, actually. Even glass, not a layer, but you wouldn't use it. I would have thought most people put their chometz kalim away during Pesach. They don't want to use it. It's an interesting story, actually. As I might say, in the Oroch HaShabbos over here, he brings over... I don't think you would. Would you give it to him? Yeah, that's true. We probably wouldn't. Yeah, but that's a chiddush, really. So he says over here, and then Oroch HaShabbos says, I am Baha'or over here. So he says, the mice, you could use it for cold. You could put an apple inside there. But it's a chiddush. The mice is not very happy either way. He says, he said, Rav Yashav holds this a problem of, like, you put it away, you don't want to use it at all. Because you don't want to use your chometz kalim over Pesach. People don't want to use it. So therefore, it's like put away for storage. It's not meant to be used. Others are a bit more lenient. They say it could be used for the part of apple inside there or an orange inside there. You could put something inside it. You could use it. So maybe it's not. It's a very interesting swar, I must say. What about a kalim Pesach? A kalim of Pesach during the rest of the year? You've got your Pesach to your kalim, and the cupboard opened up, and something fell out onto the floor. On Shabbos. Can you pick that keli up and put it away?
Yeah.
Is it a moksa? No, my friend, but if it's moksa, makos, and soren kiss, then you haven't got a head to move it, sorry, kufa makome. Why? Most people are very careful, wouldn't use anything else.
He might change his mind.
That's very rare. Yeah, that's very, very rare. You have to do that when Shabbos comes in.
It's not a kiss. It's not a good
kiss. A sarang kiss means you wouldn't use anything else.
Because
but that's what I'm saying. Kiss doesn't mean literally it's worth a lot of money. A sarang kiss means it's an item that you would not use on Shabbos. Generally speaking, I think a person will not take a paste at the occasion of the year. He brings it over here. She said, if you wouldn't use it, which I think most people are like that level actually, they wouldn't use it, then the chayra, that would be muksa. It's not a thing that's only to be used in these kedim. That's a chiddush l'maaseh. Even though you're right, there's nothing wrong with the kedim. But, what?
It does happen, you say, I'll use it and buy a new one for Pesach. It does happen. It's not
normal,
but it does
happen.
Many times.
No, he's right. I understand what happens. Let's say someone's got, for example, a special cap. So on, he's wears it during the week. On Shabbos it breaks. He said, "You know what? I've got the same one. These my Pesach came in.
Definitely. Yeah.
Let me take my Pesach came. I'll buy a new one. My Pesach.
Yeah.
With knives and peels.
Yeah, very specific things.
What?
Very specific things.
Yeah. Generally, I think generally most came a person wouldn't touch it. Whether really. I don't think a person would use it. Yeah. You have to know what the person's like. It depends on that. You have to know what he's talking about. You're crying.
The possibility's there. Therefore.
It has to be, can't be remote. I mean, if someone's in stuck and has got nothing else to eat at home, they want to use something, have a raw fruit. But I think that's enough. It has to be something which is normal to do. It's done as a course.
Give it to your kid. I want you to get that
example, sir. Okay, so what's not about? I'll take again what he says. Kaylee, the person, on the map, so you start from Lachila, beside the you don't use your food for other children times of year. It's Muxa, Mach, Maska, Soren, Kiss, Tainus. He says, most people are mapping not to use them for during the year. Interesting, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's an interesting spot. Let's come on to the matzahs, let's say, for example, matzahs. Interesting also here. So that's the famous sitter of the Prima Godim. The Prima Godim holds that matzah shal mitzvah for Leil Seder, let's say this week, next week, on Shabbos afternoon, where a person's got matzahs shal mitzvah, the Prima Godim holds their muksa.
Why
their muksa? Because, most of us know why they're muksa on Shabbos. Why are they muksa on Shabbos? The Torah says, because most people are matbit. Oh, so as you can't eat them, it depends what it's talking about. First of all, a child under bar mitzvah, because a child actually hasn't reached the age of chinuch will be able to eat it. Let's go slowly. Let's talk about a matzah shal mitzvah. So that, they say, is an interesting thing. If a person's got a limited supply of matzah shal mitzvah, he's only got a few matzah shal mitzvah, his mum is matvid, then, you can. Some people want to say, that's what the Prima Golem's talking about. Then the Prima Golem says it's a problem to move those matzahs on Shabbos, is moksa. Any shabbos, yeah. If someone's been to a bakery in a moshul, someone's baked six matzahs, let's say, for example, to use for sidurim. So he's got just enough matzahs to use for sidurim. He's got the exact amount, so he can't afford to give it someone else to eat. Maybe he needs them for his sidurim. He's got them from the Rebbe. The Rebbe baked the matzah, and the Rebbe sent him a present, those six matzahs. So he needs them for both sidurim. Then, that's when the Prima Golem's case, Lechera, comes about. There's a problem of muksa with those matzahs. Because he's very matzah on it. If you've got lechera a lot of hand matzahs, then lechera you could say on each one that's the one you could eat. You can give it someone to eat. Even though the meister six of them you need, but many pots of tile about on each one you could say this lumpus that maybe I can use this one. Therefore, there's no problem. That's also not a problem because your neighbour might come into your house. And you might give it to them. You can give it to them. It doesn't have to be enough with your own house. As long as someone's got someone in the area, someone might be able to come in. You might have to give them a bit. That's already enough of a heter l'chayra to be able to use it to move it. That's what it says. That's a good question. But that's not muksa. You know you want to use it. When Shabbos goes out, first of all, that which you know is going to change. Let's say, for example, let's say someone's cooking cholent on Friday afternoon, and the beans are raw. When Shabbos comes in, is that cholent muksa on Shabbos afternoon? It's not, because you know it's going to change. Something that you know is going to change is not called muksa. So the chayre, it's a good question what he's asking. The chayre, the matzahs are muksa. When Shabbos, unless you've got six matzahs, the bein hashmash is those matzahs are muksa. He's saying when it goes into yom, it should be a problem. That's what he's asking. Yeah, it's a good question. The chayre, I think the following is because you know it's going to be okay. It's no problem. Okay, everybody, so.